There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you all along. Phone number and the text line, for those of you new around here, first of all, welcome. It's 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Thought we'd be getting a presser from, well, the president's already speaking in the Rose Garden as the...
National Weather Service in Mobile has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northwestern Mobile County in southwestern Alabama, eastern George County in southeastern Mississippi, until 12:45 p.m. Central Daylight Time. At 12:07 p.m. Central Daylight Time, a severe thunderstorm was located 5 miles southeast of Loosedale, moving east at 40 miles per hour. Hazard, 60 miles per hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact, hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect wind damage to roofs, siding, and trees. Locations impacted include Saraland, Satuma, Loosedale, Creola, Chunchula, Gulf Coast, Axis, Sims, Interstate 65 and Alabama Highway 158, and Wilmer. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 12:45 p.m. Central Daylight Time for the following county, Mobile, Alabama, and George, Mississippi.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those days. It's all right. So you heard the warning there. And once again, this is going to be it's moving east out of Mississippi. So yeah, Loosedale getting it, but it's coming across the line there. Loosedale, Agricola, it looks like it's north of Hurley, and so Mobile County on the southwest side shouldn't be bad as you get further north, like they just said in the warning there. Saraland and on through the 40, you know, cross 43 and heading east from there. Keep your eyes on this and keep you updated as we get more information on this severe thunderstorm warning. It's going to be one of those days. So it's all right, though. We'll manage here. Okay, so... And I was waiting, you know, saying that I was waiting for the president, and he is speaking at the Rose Garden. He's going to respond to what the Iranians said back to the proposal here on the ceasefire. But obviously, it hadn't come in because the president spent a lot of time. I was listening to it, trying to get it recorded for y'all. Spent a lot of time talking about the Rose Garden, how there weren't enough roses before. Now there are more roses. It used to be wet out there in the yard, and they've raised the level of the soil. It was one of those kind of things. So obviously. No big breaking news on that one yet. So we'll keep it right here at home in Alabama. If something changes on that front, of course, we'll pass along to you here as well. All right. So obviously the discussion of Jeff's show and the morning show and so many this week, we've talked about the special session for redistricting. I've gotten personal communications from lawmakers. You know, I told you so many of them wanted to come on the show last week after the SCOTUS ruling, and then they went mute. Like you've heard, I think, Jeff talk about plenty. But they've been, you know, talking about what it's been like in chamber and getting beaten up. Well, we see a lot of this beaten up figuratively, not literally. We see the news stories out about this. And what I'm going to start with here. Now, this is from WSFA-TV in Montgomery, right? So... is it the River Region's news leader and around-the-clock weather? I'm just coming up with slug lines for him. But WSFA out of Montgomery talked about the challenges. It says here, the headline is, I think this got my attention, ready to put me back in that cotton field, emotional reactions as Alabama lawmakers weigh congressional map changes. So some cuts here. There's three of them. The first one's Bobby Singleton. Never a camera or a microphone that Bobby Singleton's not going to get in front of. And believe me, there's many in Montgomery like that in both parties. But Bobby Singleton had this one to say first. Their first cut one.
Republicans are trying to go back to that previous map.
I feel like you're ready to put me back in that cotton field again. Now, if I can't own the cotton field, I ain't trying to go back there.
Okay, let me stop for a second here. So, deference to the longtime lawmaker Singleton, you can own any kind of field you want. The idea, I understand the political battle going on here, but I'm not going to sit here and listen to stuff that's not true, right? So, Mr. Singleton can own, you can own any field you want to. Look through our property owning list in Alabama. I don't think it's something that's based on race. Yeah. Like, let me think here. Just in my, this is just very anecdotal. My friend group. And yeah, like these are friends of mine that are black that own their homes. Okay. So they own it and own property too, actually. So, okay. Strike one there. So, I mean, this is the rhetoric coming out. Cut number two in this story from WSFA is Senator Kirk Hatcher, and he had this to say.
On black communities.
They're silent the entire time. Silent. And that by itself infuriates me because I'm sick and tired of messing it with us. I'm tired of messing with us, whether it's DEI or whether we're talking about affirmative action, all of these pieces to undermine the community.
Okay, once again, this is about not about race, as the Supreme Court came back and said, you can't make it about race. This is about party. Okay, don't forget this. It's about party. And this gets truly lost in the wash. It's just gone. Not, you can't even find it in the wash anymore. There's discussion. So, and then our next clip here from AL2's Congressman Shamari Figgers.
Show up to vote.
A lot of the laws that are being advocated for and pushed for, and from D.C. to Alabama, it is all rooted in an extremely high level of confidence that people have that we will not go vote.
What? What? How would that make you not vote, Congressman? If it's redistricted, why would you not vote? Let me ask this, too. So the idea here is let's have, and, you know, we have, 26% of Alabama's population, at least according to the census status, is black. Although I ask all these questions, one day I hope, honest to goodness, I hope we're all tan. Everybody's just the same. You know, it's frustrating. But keeping you from voting, so only you would only vote because by default, what Congressman Figgers says is if you're black, you only were going to vote Democrat. And if you don't think the Democrats is going to win, you're not going to vote. I asked this at Jeff's show, and this is not just rhetorical. I would like to hear, and I know there's liberal folks on the text line, and you can call in as well. Help me with this, because what if District 2 and District 7 were currently held by black Republicans? Okay, so they're majority-minority districts, and they elected a black Republican. Would a change to that district, if we were talking about change, would that have brought the ire of the Democrats, or would it bring the Alabama Democrats cheering for that? Or what if on the flip side, 2 and 7 were held by Democrats, but they were, because we're so obsessed with the amount of melanin in somebody's skin, they were white Democrats that held 2 and 7, that they had 1 and 2 and 7. And the redistricting was being discussed. Either whether there's a black Democrat or a white Democrat there, the Republicans that are the supermajority in this state are doing what Democrats have done in states that are blue, drawing districts to benefit their parties. Now, I can told you all before, I'm not a card-carrying member. I'm not a person who goes to party meetings or anything. I just don't do that. I don't have the time and not the interest. Conservative person, Alabamian. the idea that you would have the redistricting, if there was a white Democrat in office in 2 and 7, the Republicans would try to redistrict the same way to have more congressional districts that go to the Republicans. Is that false? If you can show me how it's false, please let me know. So if there are white Democrats in 2 and 7, so there, because it's about race, right? According to Bobby Singleton, it's about race. You think if 2 and 7 were controlled, the person elected there was a white Democrat, that the Republicans wouldn't try to redistrict to give themselves an advantage to put a Republican in there? So it's not about race. It's about party politics. But that doesn't sound as good as talking about cotton fields. And Representative Wendolyn Cavan's letter, the Dear White People letter, where she lays out her 50-point plan or so here. What's wrong with the white people in our state? We'll get to that when we have time. Also, John Sharp coming up, Kyle Hamrick a bunch on today's Midday Mobile. Y'all stay right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1223 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. That severe thunderstorm warning that you heard just a little bit ago. That's that thunderstorm tracking coming across the Mississippi-Alabama line. In the track it's going, it's pretty much from like Sims on the south to Gulf Crest on the north, you know, like Wilmer, and then moving over Saraland, Criollo, Bucks, Axis, that area. Yeah, so Gulf Crest to the north. Speaking of which, actually, this is a good transition here, because I was going to tell you about my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. And so remember Stone Arms, where you can get your application in to get your suppressor. It's all one place. You just show up. All you have to know is like your name and all that kind of stuff, and it plugs in the computer. And I did this a couple of years ago, and it was quick, and now he's even faster. He's getting results back in 48 hours for folks. So if you've wanted forever to get that green light, that tax stamp that doesn't even cost you anything anymore from the feds so you can get a suppressor, go to Stone Arms and do it right now. And they're just about a quarter mile west of snow on airport. But in addition, I thought Gulf Crest, that's where Silver Creek Range is. I don't talk about that a lot, but Jeff's range, if you're looking for a place to practice with your firearms, great range, even the long shot range, he's got it all. If you go to silvercreekrange.com, get that info. If you've been saying, man, I wish I had a place around here to shoot, you do. It's Silver Creek Range. Check that out and reach out to Jeff and the crew of Stone Arms about that. StoneArmsInc.com, the website, or silvercreekrange.com. All right, I'll get a couple of these texts in here. I want to get to some more that's come out about how the redistricting would deal with the upcoming primary, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's see. And CB Carl, I agree. CB Carl said, Sean, I think the Weather Service having that test earlier with everything going on with our weather lately is pretty dadgum tone deaf. I know you have no control, just saying. Thank you. I'm glad you do know I don't have control. That was the monthly test that comes through. They press a button in Montgomery and it takes over. But yes, on a day that we're having, severe weather, come on. All right, B-Dark said, hearing that I can see who the real racists are. At least it's just less of it. I mean, there's real racists of all amounts of melanin out there, right? I mean, they exist, absolutely. But once again, ask yourself the question, and I don't think it's, I could tell kind of my surveys in life. I think there's way fewer of them now because I don't tolerate it. But if it was a white Democrat in office in AL2 and AL7, the Republicans would still be trying to redistrict, not because the person's black, because it's a Democrat. I mean, if in a blue state, if they redistrict to take out Republicans from areas, are they doing it because they're anti-white? No, they're doing it because they're anti-Republican. Let's see. This from DEI Texter. All right. says here, it isn't about the elected officials, it's the voters. It's all about race and diluting black voters having a voice. It's disgusting. Okay, let's start with that one. Good. If you're diluting, if you pack people into a congressional district, right, to make sure, in your case, you're saying black voters have a voice. So you're telling me the only black voters' voices that we should be concerned with would be the ones in AL7 and AL2, right? If it's all of it, that gives the black folks the voice. What about the people in the other congressional districts that are black? Or what about the people that are white and the other? I mean, this whole idea that you have something because the melanin in your skin. Now, do I understand the sins of the past of this state? Absolutely do. 100%. We've talked about it. It makes people uncomfortable, but it's the truth. It's 2026 now. But so if the only way to have, you know, this idea of black voices, could black voices not be Republican or independent or anything else? The only way to get it is to be packed into AL2 and AL7. What about black folks in Alabama and all the other districts? Their voices aren't of concern? I mean, ask DEI tester, ask yourself that. Is that not of concern? Oh, and here we go. And DEI tester says the current MAGA GOP is okay with a few self-hating tokens as long as they don't get out of line and there aren't too many. To be told that that's the construct, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? So you would say anybody who is black, who's a Republican who gets in there, is just a token and they hate themselves. Gosh, it must be really quiet in here. It's just simple in your world, isn't it? Mayor of Simpleton, maybe, is where you're going to get elected to. This is the thinking that drives me crazy on both sides, that acting like we're not in 2026. I'm ready to live in 2026. I don't know about y'all. By the way, a little positivity here. The mailman. Hello, mailman. Great veteran out there as well. He said, remind listeners about the United States Postal Service annual food drive. All food will be collected going to local food bank. This is local area food bank. So, mailman, when is this? Is it tomorrow? United States Postal Service annual food drive. All food collected will be going to local area food banks. My friend, the mailman here. So, mailman, what is it today? Is it tomorrow? When are y'all picking up for that? Oh my gosh! Skip over y'all and go right back to DEI. Texture said you're not interested in a good faith conversation today. I absolutely am. 100%. I'm always interested in good faith conversations, but I don't get them. If you want to have a good faith conversation, why are you calling black people self-hating tokens if they're Republicans? This is, once again, you're the one that said good faith. So black people are self-hating tokens. What about, I mean, and if it's diluting the voice, the voices of black voters across the country and here in Alabama, then what about the black folks that are not in an AL7 or AL2? What about their voices? So waiting on that one. All right, John Sharp joins me here in just a couple minutes, and I promised, too, to get you the plan here where you wouldn't have runoffs in the contest or the redrawn districts. There's a lot to talk about. We'll get back to it next, right after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106 to get you through on a call or a text. And my buddy and just the guy, I usually go to him for all local news and specifically the sport of pickleball as well, but usually more local and state news. It's John Sharp from AL.com, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today?
I'm good. I am interested with all the other things going on internationally, nationally, here in Alabama, coming out of Goat Hill. I run to this story because this is the kind of stuff that Yeah, I think talk radio is built for. And your headline here, messing with my heaven, Dolly Parton branded theater sparks outcry in Orange Beach. Now, I remember Orange Beach having outcry because the widespread panic was coming in and the floppy people were coming in to see widespread, all these things. But this is Dolly Parton. I mean, this is a brand here, man.
Yeah, I think that comparison with the widespread panic is probably not apples and oranges here. or
never stop me.
Right. So, no, what we're dealing with here is largely an issue of location, 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 an age-old real estate debate, zoning debate that any journalist has covered any time in this industry has probably had this come before them. And that's basically what we're dealing with here, although there are some other elements to it that are interesting. But, that's what we're dealing with. There is a proposal that'll be going before the city's planning commission on Monday. And the proposal is a zoning proposal for a planned unit development for the eventual construction of a Pirates Voyage dinner theater.
And dinner and a show, John Sharp. Dinner. It's dinner a classically a American yes. Dinner and a show, man.
That's correct. Very much that Pigeon Forge, yeah. Branson, Missouri-like type mm-hmm. of attractions that are popular in those areas, that popular for those vacation areas. But it's also appeared in Panama City Beach and Myrtle Beach, Florida, Panama City Beach and Myrtle Beach. Yeah. And so it's not just in the Pigeon Forge area. So, yes, this Dolly Parton-branded show has made its way towards the Gulf. And so I think the idea is, hey, this possibly could work in Orange Beach as well, which is drawing tremendous amounts of tourists, as we see every year. We get those numbers. We continue to break records year after year. And so, naturally, business will follow where the people go. And I think that's kind of the thinking there. The problem is the location for a lot of the public that stood up and spoke at this town hall meeting. That's kind of what I gathered, that the location on Orange Beach Boulevard, directly across that highway 161 from Orange Beach City Hall, is potentially, is a traffic concern. Also, there's other concerns having to do with runoff. But Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennett indicated that, there's the prospects in which this 24-acre piece of property, potentially that the city could purchase half of that. And it's kind of what my understanding on that was. And that half that the city would purchase would be preserved as natural barrier to some surrounding neighborhoods, potentially lessen the effect of any kind of runoff or noise issues or anything along those lines. But so that's kind of where we're at with that. A couple of council members were at this town hall meeting. They indicated, read between the lines, but they did not indicate much support for the planned unit development. Of course, this goes before the planning commission, which is not the city council. But if the planning commission were to approve this PUD, then it would go to the city council for final approval, and that would occur in early June. So that's kind of where we're at with this. There was a lot of stuff going on social media with this project. I think that's kind of what led to this town hall meeting or this bringing up this issue at the town hall meeting. Orange Beach regularly hosts these town hall events. But this particular issue drew a huge crowd at this town hall meeting. When I was at the Performing Arts Center in Orange Beach, it was kind of standing room only type of crowd. So people really, they got a lot of questions about this particular development and some concerns. Another one is, I mentioned in the headline, the quote there with regards to messing with my heaven. That was one of the comments that came out. And there is concerns about, if this type of development, which is an entertainment venue, were to open up in Orange Beach, what could that look like going forward? Some people made the remark, well, we'd like to see this type of development. We have nothing against family-friendly entertainment, which is what this is.
Yeah, I mean, it's Dolly Parton, yes. I mean, this is right. This is not anything edgy.
Right. It's not Flopper's Ball 24/7. It's family entertainment. So nobody really had any problems with the type of entertainment, although there were some comments made about the captive animals like sea lions
that are part of the show.
Would they bark and make noises to the neighboring residences, and so that did come up. But
are sea overall, lion barking is a sea, sea lion barking louder than pickleball rackets? Which one is?
Yeah, that's
I can't help myself. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have no idea. But at any rate, I think the argument was, well, hey, we wouldn't mind this as long as you put on the other side of the canal, the intercoastal waterway. And then the question, you know, some of the comments were, well, we'd rather see this in Ola. Well, that's easy for someone from Orange Beach to say. That's not Orange Beach. That's Foley.
Right.
So the folks in Foley would have to make that decision. So, yeah, it kind of went off in that direction a little bit. So, you know, that becomes an issue of, you know, I don't know. That's not really in the hands of the Orange Beach City Council right now. They're dealing with the potential of, you know, this development company wants to put this particular development on this particular piece of property, and that's the issue at hand right now.
Yeah, be honest with you, I'm surprised that something like this hasn't come sooner to Orange Beach and Gulf Shores. I mean, this is, I would argue, on brand, and prepare yourselves on the text line to get angry with me, but, you know, the South Baldwin went one direction, which is to have facilities to invite the most number of people down. I mean, it's great. Dalton and I were talking about it earlier. Alabama Gulf Coast, we've got, if you want to just buy your groceries ahead of time and chill out and be at the house and not be bothered, Dolphin Island, perfect for that. Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, there has been, it's not brand new, the tourist draw, right? I mean, something like this arriving, I mean, I figured something like this would arrive much sooner down at Orange Beach or Gulf Shores.
In some regards, there are, you know, entertainment venues down, and especially in Gulf Shores. We have the Hangout. I think most people consider that to be as much an entertainment venue as a restaurant. And then you have Waterville, which is real close, right along the busy highway there. You have these type of attractions that are there already. I just, you know, I get the sense that you get to a point over a period of time, this issue of traffic and congestion and quality of life continues to mount itself up, and that becomes the overriding issue. They're the folks that live in Orange Beach, they're the folks that live in Gulf Shores. But, you know, on the other side of things, folks that don't live in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores kind of look at from this issue from afar. And I've seen some of the comments on my story on Facebook in which, you know, there's people that are just less sympathetic towards that. They're like, well, this is what you guys wanted with your beach. You wanted the condos, but you wanted this type of atmosphere. Now, you know, here you got this dinner theater coming in, and just, you know, so, you know, the people that are not living down there seem to be less sympathetic towards this plight. And, you know, the question now, too, for Orange Beach is what do they want to do with this particular piece of property that boils down to this vote on this PUD. Some folks said, you know, asked the question, well, why not just purchase this? And, you know, why not city just purchase it and make it a park or, you know, something that's a public use? And Mayor Kennan indicated, I think, that the asking price was somewhere around $14 million. That's a lot of money for that property. However, the city of Orange Beach also has a very, I'm not sure exactly where all this, you know, how it all balances itself out, but I think the cash reserve or the reserves for the city was somewhere around $123 million. And they also have the bonding capacity, significant bonding capacity as well, even though I'm sure they probably not interested in bonding to purchase a piece of property. But that those were some of the interesting things that came out. It was a very, very good, well-done town hall meeting. A lot of facts were put out there, a lot of numbers. It was just really interesting. And it is an interesting issue. Monday is, you know, the big vote there for the Planning Commission. But it ultimately will be decided by your elected officials. You know, hearing the comments that from at least three of them, it just didn't indicate a lot of enthusiasm for the project at that particular site.
Yeah, it's a it's always the conversation that when does the door get locked? You know, and as we've invited people down to the coast, so many people have moved down here. People say, well, no more traffic, no more development. In reality, though, there were, you know, a lot of a few people living on the coast and a lot of farmers just north of them in Baldwin County in the 1970s and 80s probably said, okay, that's enough. That's enough people now. You know, as more people got, I mean, at some point, unless you're one of the families that has always been in Baldwin County, you were new here too. And your business is new here too.
Yeah, that's correct. And it's an interesting, you're right. And, you know, some of the people that got up and spoke, you know, they've lived in Orange Beach for, you know, 5, 8, 9 years. I mean, that's fairly new to this area.
Right. Somebody was saying about them. At one point, somebody was saying, oh, my gosh, here comes some more people moving in.
Right. And now those people that have been here for five to eight years are saying, well, wait a minute. We don't want those people moving in. So, yeah, you're right. We've seen these temporary moratoriums put into place in cities and for various reasons, whether it be, we saw it in Fairhope, that's happened a couple of times, but cities cannot just put the gates up and say, no, you can't develop here. That's not legal. And right. They can't do it permanently. And every moratorium has an ending point to it as well. And so that's just a simple fact. And so, you know, you just have to, the struggle for local officials in Baldwin County to find that happy medium, you know, to try and balance the growth with public services and you know, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, this kind of falls into place with that in Orange Beach. And, you know, clearly a Pirates Voyage dinner theater would be fun, I think, for local residents, but it's really orientated towards tourists. And I think, you know, that's kind of the frustration as well. It's kind of like, well, you're providing this, well, the tourists bring also all this nice revenue that's allowed Orange Beach to also have a very tremendous city school system there. Gulf Shores as well, they're building this brand new school that's really nice. So, yeah, it's a catch-22 somewhat.
All right, people want to read more about this story, of course, over at AL.com and a lot more. You're reporting there. If they want to reach out to you on social media, how do they find you, John?
At JohnSharp99.
There he goes. And it's a... Well, yeah, we'll pick this up. I see some text I want to get to when we come back. We'll pick this up, a discussion of where Gulf Shores Orange Beach goes forward from here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And this is perfect timing. It's my buddy Blaine over at Paris Tractor in Robertsdale. But let's talk about steel handhelds and zero turns, because a couple things here. We're mowing more because I don't know if you noticed, it's raining again. And people got a lot of stuff down in their yard, too. Time to have a handheld to, you know, blowers or chainsaws or all that.
That's right. So right now, Sean, we've got all of our steel handhelds here in our showroom in Robertsdale at Paris Tractor. We got battery powered as well as gas, and all of our chainsaws, string trimmers, hedgers, blowers, you name it, we got it with steel. So we can package that together with a zero turn as well through Kubota's financing. So come by, check it out. We got all of our zero turns from 42-inch up to 72-inch decks in stock in gas and diesel models. So whether you're looking to buy a mower or maybe needing a new handheld power tool, we've got them here, and we can package them together if you want to buy both.
Yeah, I mentioned chainsaws for a reason. You know, I've talked about it before, and we talked about it when I was out at y'all's shop a few weeks ago. Y'all, if you're going to get, you know, you get the handhelds and you get the battery system that maybe, you know, work for a blower or work for something else, they all interchange. And then you get this chainsaws that it can sit in the back. I mean, you and I have talked about this privately. It's great to have a chainsaw in your truck box that you know you got a battery that's hot for. Like if you're at the camp or whatever, I mean, you don't even have to worry about it. It's ready to go.
That's right. So you're right. The chainsaws, the string trimmers, hedge trimmers. I mean, we've got electric power washers, you name it. So all the batteries will interchange with each individual piece. So, you know, you don't have to buy separate batteries for each unit. They will all interchange and makes it really convenient.
Okay. So y'all are easy to find in Robertsdale. I mean, y'all right there on the west side the road in Robertsdale, but the website, I don't think we talk about enough, and probably because I spend a lot of time looking around y'all's website. Can you tell them that and what they can find on there?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, paristractor.com. You can see all of our new inventory as well as our used, our pre-owned, our trade-in inventory. It's a wide variety. It's not just mowers or tractors. It's skid steers, mini excavators, dozers, trailers, just a little bit of everything. So definitely go online and check out that used inventory tab.
Good stuff. Blaine, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Paris Tractor. Let's get to the text line here. Hey, by the way, coming up after the news, we'll have Kyle Hamrick from Landnap on. Let's see. Oh, my gosh. Let's. How far back do I? Sometimes I got to scroll. That's good. I appreciate all those. Let me go. Okay, and thank you. Heads up here. So the pickup, because mailman sent me something, and I was asking when the pickup was. It's tomorrow. Man, I remember doing this as a kid. And like arguing with my parents. I was always like, let's give, you know, they're like, no, if we only have one of that canned good, Sean, we're keeping that one. Only ones that we have three of are we giving the one extra. I used to argue with my parents about that. I'm like, well, that's the best one. They said, well, we need, I didn't realize what it was like to feed a family back then, especially me as a teenager. They're like, no, we only have one of those. You get one that we have three of, we'll give those. But yeah, Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive, that's tomorrow. Leave your bags of food in the mailbox, and USPS will be picking it up. Good stuff. The redistrict, let's see. Okay, yeah, very good. Irish Indian said, because I asked this question, do you think if there was a white Democrat in office in AL2 and AL7, that the Republicans wouldn't be doing what they're doing right now? Of course they would be doing this. So it's not about the person's skin color. It's about the politics. It's about the parties. Because Irish Indian said they definitely would do it if it was Parker Griffin, Griffith up in Huntsville. Yeah, if AL2 or AL7 had a white Democrat there, the Alabama GOP would be making the same move. Let's see more on the good. A lot of people engage. Cool. And you know, put those canned goods in your mailbox. Gosh, I remember doing that most of my life. Let's see. Something to share. Angie, yeah, better things you want to share, like Facebook stuff. Direct those. Just email Leanna. She runs everything for our Facebook page. So send those to Leanna. Leanna at fmtalk1065.com, and she can get those. Let's see. This is unnamed texter said those sins were committed by Democrats. The war was about states' rights and northern economy security. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was about holding the republic together. It's also about slavery. It was. I mean, the retelling that it's not about slavery. I'm sorry. I know it rubbed some of y'all the wrong way, but you open line to talk about it. It was. But the point is, the Civil War. It's a long time ago, right? Jim Crow was not as long ago, but a long time ago. I live in 2026. And to act like the people who pretend like nothing was wrong with what happened in the Jim Crow South, you're absolutely wrong. And poll taxes and all that stuff was real. And we as a republic fixed it. It's 2026 now. Texture goes on to say they should start at the Alabama northern border or the southern border or east or west border and divide into equal sections. Numbers don't lie unless statistics get involved. Well, they got to draw the districts right to be the same number of people, right? Within, what is it, 0.5% or something? Because that's, you know, one citizen, one vote. So they got to draw it to have the same population in each district. This texture said, I don't think the redistricting is about race. It's about rigging an election because Trump's policies are garbage and do not benefit anyone. California and Virginia voted to redistrict. Why not give us the same opportunity? There you go. Oh, by the way, too, somebody was saying why I was giving grief to people that moved into South Baldwin. I'm just saying this. I'm not a Baldwin County guy. I'm a Mobile County guy. But as a kid, my family had a place down what we call back at the Gulf, at the beach. And you were talking about how different it is from back then. And those of you that are, you know, born and bred Baldwin County folks can probably comment. But I remember there was one condo that was in Gulf Shores, because I remember, like, going there as kids to go up and down in the elevator because we thought it was fun. But we walked an open beach down to, remember the outrigger? Go down the outrigger to get candy and Sidewinder spoons to fish with. I mean, that's pretty much that and cottons. That's about all that was there. So, I mean, it has changed a whole bunch, y'all. We're going to keep Dolly Parton out of the mix.